Looks like there's a stupid delay
Love
again.
Talk Radio.
Turn this off before we get sued by the estate of John Lennon and Paul McCartney,
which
is now owned by the estate of Michael Jackson.
Conrad.
I don't think he owns anything. I think he owns
soap
opera right now.
Yeah.
Do
they give you soap opera? Because you could hang yourself in
this. Well, yeah, maybe they don't.
I don't know.
All right. Well,
I miss soap opera.
Really? So you've had soap opera before? Like when you were a kid?
At some point. Yeah.
Do they still make that?
I don't think so. I should probably look. That'd be awesome. They could.
I don't even know what soap on rope looks like.
I have like memories, but I don't really. I know there's like a white rope. Still mind me if I'm still holding the chopsticks. Once they put them down, the man can reconfigure them.
I don't know how to use chopsticks.
I barely do, so that's why.
Looks like you've got the technique.
Enough.
Cool. Okay, maybe you can teach me one day.
Maybe I will.
Yes. Anyway, I am Mike.
I was just going to say you are Mike.
I am Mike. Yeah. You are Jesse.
I am Jesse.
You are Jesse. And yesterday was your birthday.
Yeah.
So happy birthday.
34.
34 years young.
Yeah.
That's many things going on. So what did you do for your birthday yesterday?
Quiet time, did some work. I didn't like work.
That doesn't sound like a very fun birthday.
It was fine. Relaxing day. Got to buy some comic books.
All right.
Have a quiet dinner, which I'm finishing off now.
Yeah.
With the lady last night. Got some gifties.
All right.
And we had got a date lined up for the weekend.
All right.
Celebration.
All right.
So we can see another guy you might have heard of, Noel Gallagher.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
He's might be your favorite brother, might be your least favorite brother. I don't know which side you're on. I am,
you know, I don't know a whole lot about
your
Noel.
I'm team
kind of eh.
Yeah.
I'm team, I haven't really cared about anything about Oasis since what's the story one about it.
I was team Liam all the way, and I gotta admit the new Noel one is Noel Gallagher album, which came out in the US this week, which we just reviewed the end of last week.
Yes, we did. We reviewed.
We
reviewed it a couple days early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's been out for like 2 or 3 weeks.
Overseas.
Yeah.
Yes.
We reviewed it and gonna go see him again, it kicks the crap out of. Yeah.
You gonna talk to Noel Gallagher about maybe tweezing his unibrow? No.
Sure.
It's kind of weird. Like it's gonna start, you know, develop wings and like fly off of his head. Pretty serious. Anyway, we are going to be hanging out with you guys for the next hour and a half or so. The chat room is open. We've already got some people, or we've got a person, hi Stephen, congregating inside the chat room. So come on in and give us a shout. You can call into the show. The call-in number is 347-850-1653. We are testing out some, well, you're testing out a new headset.
Yes.
Straight out the package.
Yes.
Hopefully it's working properly.
We'll see.
And Stephen, since you're in the chat room listening to us, if you cannot hear us, I would assume that you would be letting us know. So,
or just like maybe this is still on.
How all the shows will start? Yeah, really. Like one day we will get over the sound issues. I swear, I promise.
I think that's part of the.
That's part of the charm.
Yeah, I was gonna...
maybe. So, yesterday's your birthday.
Yes.
And tomorrow is a special day. Tomorrow is 11/11/11.
National Metal Day.
It is National Metal Day.
Also Veterans Day.
It is also Veterans Day. So shout out to all of the veterans out there who might be listening.
Part of my birthday celebration is to do a very metal thing, which is Ghost of Testament. The Palladium would be my third time seeing him.
And Anthrax?
And Anthrax and Death Angel is opening up.
Okay, I don't know Death Angel.
New School of Thrash.
Okay.
So,
I'm nodding my head like I know that.
Yeah. But Testament, one of the best, not big four bands out there. Still keeping it real. All the original members.
Right.
Alex Skolnick is back in band. He had left for a few years.
Okay.
Their drummer Paul Bostaff is out sick, so
got
they
sick.
Have.
You can call out sick to a show.
I guess no, he's been out. He's had issues for a while.
Okay.
But, they have either, I believe, John Tempesta filling drums for him. You may know him from. He was the drummer of White Zombie towards the tail end on the Astro Creek tour,
okay.
Album, and he was Rob Zombie's drummer for the first two records. And then he's currently the drummer of The Cult. He was the drummer for Helmet when they got reunited, and he played on Testament's low album from 1994. Jesus Christ, of the most fun.
You were like the Mark McGrath of metal knowledge.
Oh, why'd you see that?
I mean, that's a compliment.
Yeah,
that's one
Mark
of the few
McGrath.
Times I've been hearing Mark McGrath and compliment.
Yeah.
Same
sentence. Yeah. So anyway, he's playing drums, so I'm excited because I've never seen him play with drums and stuff. And for a few days, I guess, I'm just told they're going to be having Gene Hoglan, who is the drummer for Strapping Lad, Death Clock, Fear Factory currently, and who also played on their new record, which comes out, I think, latest ever is April or May of next year, which is too fucking long. But anyway. Happy National Metal
Day
to me.
And we've been joined by your cat,
mm-hmm.
Who has jumped onto my lap and is now purring contentedly.
Yeah, the fuck off.
So if you hear purring through this podcast, it is courtesy of Jesse's cat on my lap. And we do not condone cruelty to animals. So we'll scratch that kicking comment.
It's one of that next week. I'll get cleared of any charges. Really?
Ah. She wants the sushi. Yeah, he wants the sushi.
Smart.
Trying to butter me up.
Yeah.
So he can get some food.
He's like, oh, hey, what's up?
Yeah, he's over there. Anyway, like I said, the top of the podcast, he's been away for a while.
Yes.
And now we're back.
Yeah.
And hopefully back on a
sort of schedule.
So hopefully this is episode 11. Hopefully our next 10 will get to you quicker than the first 10 did.
Yes.
It was a good 10. And
I
considering
the content, I mean, you know, served that, like, you know, like, oh.
Oh, yeah. Everything was worth
waiting
for.
Thing.
Yeah. That said, our first 10 was actually like our first, like, 13 or 14.
Mm.
And I think we lost a couple of episodes somewhere.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It works. Anyway, moving right along, let's get into some newsy kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I guess the big news right now is the whole Penn State molestation scandal thing happening
no
right now.
Is,
really?
Yeah.
All right, I will leave this conversation there. So there's college football is a pretty big deal. It is.
Is it like NASCAR big deal or like?
It's,
okay, we're not.
It's a bigger deal than NASCAR.
Okay, anyway.
I don't know. It's pretty big.
You don't live down south. You don't know.
Right.
Anyway,
to me, college football is a much bigger deal than NASCAR is. Penn State. Huge college football program. Joe Paterno, very legendary college football coach. At any rate,
I heard you stepping down.
He was fired. Okay.
Oh.
so basically, the assistant football coach, Jerry Sandusky, was charged with sexually molesting a number of teenage boys, obviously while he was acting as the assistant football coach at Penn State. Apparently, this was fairly common knowledge among people who worked for Penn State. And, you know, it had been, I guess somebody walked in on this happening and apparently let people know, and it just, like, nothing ever came of it until, like, years later. And if I'm misspeaking, someone please correct me. So at any rate, it's come out that, you know, this guy was, you know, fooling around with these kids, and, you know, he's been arrested. I believe there are eight children, well, not children, they're adults now, but they're teenagers then, and they're saying as many as 20 kids, you know, might be stepping forward. And, I mean, you know, the people in charge of the school are obviously very much within their rights to just, like, terminate people. I mean, it doesn't really matter. Like,
like, you know,
just,
about that.
I mean, common sense, you know, human morality just says, like, if you knew about this thing and you didn't say anything, you deserve to lose your job, and you probably deserve to go to jail. So, I mean, there's been a bit of an upheaval. Initially, Paterno was going to quit at the end of the season, but they fired him. And apparently there were riots on campus. People were parking out, you know, parked outside of his house, protesting the fact that he was let go, which boggles my mind. You know, it's like if O.J. Simpson was a college football student when he killed Nicole Brown Simpson. You know, that's like, it's like people protesting in front of, like, Al Cowan's house or something like that, because I don't know, like, that's a weird analogy. It probably makes no sense, but it's really, like, the whole mentality and thing is just sort of really warped. And, I mean, it definitely raises a big question. I mean, do people care more about football than they do about the welfare of, like, other human beings?
Children.
Right. I mean, and, like, I mean, it sounds, like, coming out of my mouth, it sounds like such a strange question to ask, but you got to think about stuff. You know, like, it, what seems like it would be a very black and white common sense issue to the average person really isn't. So. I'm sorry, it is a puzzle.
I'm gonna have
to make fun of it, make sense of it at some point anyway. But I mean, that's obviously developing, and we're gonna see what happens there. Also in the news, and this is an awkward segue. Conrad Murray was convicted for involuntary manslaughter in the death of Michael Jackson. This happened on That's correct, Stephen. He will be sentenced at some point. I believe the maximum sentence is 4 years, which for, like, kill somebody, get 4 years in prison? I don't know. And I don't know, it's really strange. Like, I hadn't been following the trial at all. Like, obviously, I'm a huge Michael Jackson fan, but even, like, when Michael himself was on trial a few years ago, like, I didn't really follow that either. It was weird because, like, I watched the sentencing. Like, I just happened to be home, and, you know, it was on TMZ, and I was near my computer. So I was like, oh, you know, I have the sentencing on the background while I'm working. And it's strange because I didn't think they were going to convict him, first of all. And the look on his face was just, like, it was bizarre. Like, it was, he was, like, emotionless almost. Like,
I think at that point, too, it's just like, you've been through a whole trial and stuff. It's just like, whatever, dude.
It was so, like, that's what kind of struck me more than anything else, just, like, the expression on his face. And it's funny because I wasn't even sure that Dr. Murray should have been convicted or even tried.
I'm in the same mind. I mean, just from all the facts that I've seen about the case, too, and from what I had just seen, there's something that just come out about, like, that Jackson had given the formal, like, post himself.
That I think is impossible. So I don't think that happened. I mean, but it's funny because right after, you know, right after the verdict was announced, I got a phone call from a coworker who knew that I would be interested in this. And I asked her, I was like, if somebody dies of a heroin overdose, do you charge the person who injected them?
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah. And then I thought about it, and I was like, you know what? You're right. I mean, granted, Michael Jackson was a drug addict.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even want to get into that at this point, because that's another conversation for another time. But not only, I mean, I think where it really boils down to is that this guy was a doctor.
Yeah.
And if you're a doctor, you don't enable
exactly.
a patient
that,
who is addicted to a drug.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
So he messed up. Like, there's no real way around that.
Mm-hmm.
And he should do time for messing up.
Mm-hmm. In that situation, though, it's kind of one thing to think about, too, is just like, you know, I can imagine the money that's going through these hands. It's like, you know, I'm like doctors and stuff like that, too. It's just like, what? This guy's paying me like $1 million.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, you still got to kind of keep your morals. I mean, you know. I can't picture being in that situation,
yeah.
So I don't know what I would do. I mean, I would like to think that I would be like, dude, I don't care how much you're paying me. I'm not putting my livelihood or my life on the line so you can get your fix.
Exactly. Yeah.
But at the same time, I've never been in that situation.
Yeah.
I will probably never be in that situation. But what I do,
you
know? Yeah, exactly. Thank goodness. Not for it.
But going with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I read an interesting Stone article about him. He also mentioned Michael Jackson and
that's right.
And drugs.
That's right.
He was a close friend.
Right.
Yeah.
They did a song together.
They did.
Do you remember that song? What's up with you? Yeah. Eddie and Michael did a song together. So we were talking before the show about how much we enjoyed that interview.
Yeah.
And
everyone should read it.
Right.
Casual.
I forget the name of the guy who wrote it. He writes a lot of stuff for Rolling Stone. A pretty well known guy. I'm just drawing a blank on his name, and I don't feel like going to Google right now. But it humanized him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not. I don't think Eddie Murphy was like dehumanized before. I just think most people didn't care one way or the other.
Yeah, and everybody was kind of like, well, he's a recluse. I mean, what the interview brought up.
Right. I mean, they were like, he's a recluse, and I think a lot of people also like, he's a has been. Like, nobody cares.
And he's just like, I'm old. I don't go out to clubs anymore. It's just like everybody's got like a camera problem now. He's just like, what's he doing, you know, out on a Tuesday night at, you know,
at
a club at 11 night?
That's pretty smart, I think, you know, because you get the mental image of like the 50-year-old guy in the club, and it's not a flattering image.
No, it's not.
Doesn't matter who it is.
Yeah, Eddie Murphy drunk at 2 o'clock.
Right. Like, more people should probably
exactly.
You know,
He's like, I go shopping, I do that stuff.
He does,
like, you know,
whatever people do. One thing that I found interesting and hopeful, I'm sorry, I'm eating, is that he mentioned that he would be going back to stand-up at some point, which he's threatened before.
Yes.
And he also said that he's kind of done with the whole family.
And he's raunchy.
Right. He's done with the whole back with the little... Daddy doesn't say
and I do. I mean, I do like the fact that, like, some of them, you know, where I see these a lot of times, see, like, celebrities, like, why did you do that family movie or why did you voice this cartoon character?
Right.
It's like, so when my kids see my movies, I can be like, you know, like, oh, that's my, you know, like, he mentioned in the article or whatever, where, you know, he's doing the Shrek thing or something like that. I'm just like, so, like, when my granddaughter sees this, they can be like, oh, that's my granddad, like, or something like that.
You know, you don't want to, people... Regardless of whether they're creative people or whatever, like, why do you want to marginalize people?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's capable of doing much more than, you know, vulgarity.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking to the other day on the site or whatever about the thing. You know, Garrett said it best, just like, you know, it might have been an article too, but it's like, you know, you shouldn't be apologizing for doing like a dunk. You should be doing apologizing for like whatever goes off the grid. Like, that's where it comes down to.
Right. Apologize for making crappy movies regardless of the genre.
And he even pointed out, too, it's just like, you know, there are some movies that were just like the patient movies.
Right.
Like, you know, there is, you know, imagine that.
Beverly Hills Cop 3.
Yeah, like Beverly Hills Cop 3.
You know what? I'm not sure that I've seen Beverly Hills Cop 3.
It's nothing. At all.
But, I mean, with that said, one thing he did also talk about in an interview was making like a Beverly Hills Cop TV show.
Which I like, and the way he kind of had that was just like, it sounds like it could be interesting. It'll be, I guess it's a focus on Axel's son.
Mm-hmm.
Axel would be the police chief now.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yeah, I'd pop up in the pilot and maybe like here and there and stuff like that throughout the season or whatever. But he's like, it mostly focus on, I think you do it the right way. I'm like, I think it would work.
Yeah.
But. You know, everybody's just like, oh, it's a comeback. And it's like, I don't think he ever was like, he's never really gone. In my mind, he's never really gone anywhere.
He hasn't really gone anywhere.
Yeah. he just has been making moves that, you know, the majority of his fans have left.
I mean, he's just kind of been, you know, he's never been totally off the grid. He's just been kind of like...
Die Hard with a Vengeance. That's a three.
Yeah, that's actually a good list. We need to think about.
Oh, good, yeah.
Like,
sequels.
Best sequels of all time. Something
yes.
Like that. Interesting. We need to add that to the...
But I will say it's Steven. Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Die Hard with a Vengeance was a very good third installment of the franchise. That's actually, after the first one, it's probably my favorite Die Hard movie.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, me too.
But
yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
Jaws 3, not so much.
I didn't see Jaws 3.
Oh my god, it's awful. 3D.
I was about to say we got the 3D one. Yeah, I didn't see Jaws 3. But what were you saying? We're talking about Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, he was.
But yeah, I mean, you know, a Beverly Hills Cop TV show might not be a bad idea. I mean, you don't know.
Yeah.
It's not one of those things that you totally want to like project out of hand.
And I've heard good things about Tower Heist.
Like, yeah, I mean, I've heard really good things about Tower Heist,
I mean, we've had some folks on the site who said, said some flattering things about it so far. I'm like, I was interested in seeing it. I'm like, I was so behind the on-demand thing. I think that's fucking brilliant. Because me and the lady that talked about this before, she's like, you put a movie like that or whatever, like on-demand or something like that, you really, really want to see it. She's like, even if it costs like $50, you get a few people over. It's just like you have food there,
you make it
when you want to go take a piss.
Right.
It's just like,
yeah, I mean,
you know, I understand. Like, I'm like, I like going to movies too, but I'm just like, I shy away from like the more often than not, I go to movies by myself, like during the middle of the day, because I'm just like, there's nobody there. I'm also worried about, I'm like, I hate going to see, like, I used to do midnight screens a lot and stuff, but just like,
there's a million people screaming.
Yeah, it's just like you get people screaming. It's like, it's tough. I'm like, I don't want to knock them, but like comedy sometimes are really tough to see in a theater.
Right.
Like everybody laughs at
right.
the same time, and they keep laughing while it's like the action doesn't end.
Right.
It's not like, you know, a sitcom where it's like, you know, kind of like, we'll laugh and stuff, but like the laugh track's going and stuff, and they kind of pause a little bit to like, even though for the jokes.
Right.
But it's just like a movie. It's just like, it's a good experience, but it like kind of takes away from like if you're there to see like the movie
itself.
It's like going to a show or whatever.
Exactly.
It's like, and you're stuck in like, you know, in the back of the room, and
there's 10 people screaming,
conversation. Yeah, and everybody decides to mosh at the same time in the back of the room. It's just like, no. So
you're not going to enjoy it.
But I'm like, I wish they would have, you know, stuff. I'm like, obviously they would have done worse business than they did, but I think if they would have done like, you know, I think it's a good idea. I mean, I think movies are going to start going that way. I mean, look at Red State, which just came out, which is on Netflix streaming now.
Right.
So... And that was released in theaters, maybe a month.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you have to keep comfort in mind.
Yeah.
I mean, comfort and cost.
Yeah, yeah.
It costs.
It's just like, I'm like, am I going to spend, like, you know the downside with it, though, is just like, you know, I like the kind of, like, okay, in, like, 3 or 4 months, it'll be on DVD. If it was something I like, I can buy it and I can own it.
Right.
But it's just like, I mean, the technology's going to be out there. Just streaming across your TV. Always like so.
Right. So, I mean, how much the movie at this point is probably about 11.50.
Yeah, right? I mean, even the stuff on demand or whatever, they have the ones that are like the same day in theaters or whatever. There to be the IFC ones and stuff like that. They do a lot, and I would love. I mean, some of those I'm like, I bought. There was this movie that came out last year that like it was like a month or two before it was in theaters. I'm like, I really want to see it. So I sent $9.99, like, and I had it at theater. So.
Pop up some popcorn.
Yeah,
pop
exactly.
up some beer.
Yeah,
good to go.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like I can't have beer and beer. I mean, some of them you can, but I'm like, for the most part, I'm like, no.
You can sneak it in. Yeah, I've done that before.
Yeah. Like, you know,
don't have to put on shoes.
Don't
put on clothes.
That's true.
There you go.
You can be wearing a Tower Heist.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good.
Yeah. Sorry. So Eddie is also in the news because he pulled out of the hosting duties for the Academy Awards. After
controversy.
Yes, there was some controversy involving the Tower Heist director, Brett Ratner, who was, I guess, going to produce the Oscars this year. And I guess there was some like fan chat about Tower Heist.
Yeah.
And someone asked Brett Ratner about, I guess, rehearsals or something. And his response was, rehearsals are fags.
See, I didn't hear what the comment was.
Because
I saw it and I was just like, I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, everybody just got like up in arms and Brett Ratner ended up like resigning from the Oscars. Like, I don't know. that's not offensive to me.
No.
Like, it's not like, it's about context. Maybe it was a bad choice of words.
Yeah.
Look, how many of us every day say something that we regret saying?
He was hanging around with Eddie Murphy. I'm going to say that.
Right.
I'm like, I mean, we had this conversation the other day. Like, Jason said some crazy shit.
Right. You know. I mean, and I don't know if Eddie feels the same way.
No, I don't. I mean,
now
I
that he did in 1983. Yeah. I doubt that he does. You know, I think some people just, like, are way too uptight about stuff like that.
I think some of it just, like, you know, the alarms go off and stuff.
Right.
It's like, there's a point where it's like, okay, yeah, PC, and then there's a time where it's like PC way.
Right. It's way, too politically correct.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he didn't say anything directly derogatory. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not really sure if I'm the best at explaining the fact that I'm completely not offended by something like that. And I think if somebody is offended by that, they're taking themselves way too seriously, and maybe they're a little too sensitive. Because it was an offhanded comment, wasn't made to insult anybody. It was just a joke. And I mean, I'll be the first person to say whether a comment or a joke is tasteless or something like that, but I don't think that was tasteless.
Yeah.
Or I don't think it was so tasteless that the guy had to resign from the stupid show.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be. I thought that was going to be really interesting. But right now, you know, producing it,
right.
Anyone?
Unless you make the Academy Awards worth watching.
Yeah.
Because I those things are boring. Healthy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now it's going to be they announced that Brian Grazer is going to be producing it.
Right.
Based on there's like shit, tons of stuff, including like most recently Da Vinci Code and all that stuff.
And Billy Crystal is going to host it. Like, I don't want to see Billy Crystal host.
It's like, how many times have you done it?
Right.
I'm like, yeah, he's good at it. Like, but.
Like, bring back Chris Rock.
Yeah.
Bring back Whoopi.
Huh.
Do something.
Yeah.
And somebody I saw on Twitter, somebody was talking about, have like Bill Maher host the show or something like that.
Someone was like, have James Franco do it.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I didn't even watch the Oscars. Like,
I watched a portion of it. Like, either James Franco was completely out of his element.
Yeah.
Wicked nervous or stoned off his gourd
because
he was just like he was like almost catatonic. It was so bad. But yeah, I mean, dude, I don't want to see Billy Crystal host it. I don't want to see anything Billy Crystal's been in for like 20 years.
Have fucking Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin do it. Like,
yeah.
They did like
two years before that.
Yeah,
right.
They're amazing.
Right. Have Alec Baldwin host himself. Give him a few drinks beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe put Kim Basinger in the front row.
She's still alive.
Kim is still alive. Yes. Doesn't she own like a city or something like that? I know she used to. She used to own a town. But then I think she went bankrupt and had to sell the town. Something like that. I don't know what it was. Anybody, I'm.
But yeah, anyone knows.
Yes. So actually, do you know who was in Tower Heist besides Eddie Murphy and Ben Stiller?
Michael Pena
and
Casey Affleck.
Unfortunately, Eddie B was also in Tower Heights.
Mm-hmm.
He was really apparently for, he had a cameo role in Tower Heights. And unfortunately, Eddie B. Happened. I think he just sort of I guess collapsed in his doorway or something like that.
Yeah.
Only 44 years old, so our condolences obviously go out to his family, friends, and fans. Exactly. That was weird. We also lost Andy Rooney, at the age of 92.
Yeah.
And we lost...
you know, not to be disrespectful.
But?
The longest time, I was like, fuck, Mickey Rooney?
I can see how that...
I was like, oh, wait, the guy from 16.
Is Mickey Rooney still alive?
Mickey knows. I'm sure he is.
Let's go to Wikipedia. All
right.
And if anybody in the chat room knows that Mickey Rooney is still alive, help a couple of dudes out.
Pretty sure he is.
Mickey Rooney is still alive, and he's 91.
Wow.
So only a year behind Andy Rooney there. We lost Andy Rooney. We also lost boxer Joe Frazier. Before my time, I was actually a big boxing fan when I was younger, but I mean, by the time I started getting into that stuff, Joe Frazier was long since retired.
Yeah,
and, you know.
So that'd be three. Right?
Yeah, that was the three. That was the three.
Although the guitars from Gore also passed
that's
away.
That's right. Guitars from Gore.
So I don't know if maybe there's been like a new cycle.
I don't know.
There's the guitars from Gore, Andy Green, and Happy Feet. So Joe Frazier might be the start of like a new cycle.
No, well, Joe Frazier was before, was between Andy Rooney and Heavy D.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Heavy D was the most recent.
So maybe Heavy D is the newest
next cycle.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, or maybe the cycle is just increased from 3 to 4.
Ooh, that'd be fours.
Yeah, that's not good.
Not good at all.
No, not at all. Hey, what's happening?
This is Jesse.
This is Jesse is in the house, everybody.
And got food, even though she knows pieces in
that. I want to see a coconut.
Why are you harassing her? It's her food. So from that sad news, what else do we want to? I mean, what do we want to jump to here? It's No Shave November.
That's true.
And
we do know rules at some point.
That's true. And neither one of us has been a fan of shaving lately. Apparently,
I trimmed down a little bit. I got accused of having a scary beard. So it's not scary. It's not now, Mike, but I got accused of having a scary beard, even though I thought it was fucking phenomenal. And, anyway.
And, yeah, who accused you of having a scary beard?
I think so.
Steady feed the fifth.
And, so I trimmed it.
It looks good.
Thank you. Thank you. It's just thinner than it was. I had everything shaved. It was, like, a little bit too long here, but, yeah. So,
I think you could totally like pull off one of those like long,
yeah,
like sort of yeah, almost wizardy kind of beards.
I kind of had one. It was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So no, I don't.
But you still have the.
I'm not gonna shave for November though. I mean, I'll be.
Yeah, I mean we're already a third through the month.
There we are.
Steven, who's listening in the chat room? I suggest you join us. We should have like a Pop Lib staff. Communal No Shave November. I'm making a pronouncement now to everyone on the staff that
you should be listening right now.
Right.
It's your job.
Right.
Even though it's not a job.
You can't shave for the rest of the month. I want photographic evidence. I want to see some nasty beards happening. What else is happening? The CMAs were last night.
She didn't watch. I know Miss Piggy was on them.
She was?
Apparently, yeah.
Lionel Richie was on them. He sang Dancing on the Ceiling.
Really?
Yeah. I guess Lionel Richie has a country album coming out.
Right.
Well, he's done country kind of stuff before. And he wrote Lady by Kenny Rogers.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But he's a country guy. You can do that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really?
I didn't watch the show. Apparently,
I was going to watch it for Miss Piggy, but...
No. Taylor Swift won Entertainment of the Year.
That's good.
Did you see, and I hope Mrs. Jesse is not offended by this, the pictures of Taylor Swift that have been floating around the internet? Yeah, there's booby pictures.
Booby?
Yeah.
How old is she?
She's like 12?
She's about 20.
Okay. I don't feel weird.
21?
No problem.
I'm
just not trying
she's,
to her,
she's, and you, well, nor am I.
However, she is the voice in the Lorax movie that's coming out next year.
The who?
They're making a feature length of the Lorax. Don't seem smart.
Oh!
Jesus Christ.
Sorry. Taylor Swift is 21.
Okay. So movies are okay.
Yes, movies are okay. Movies have been okay for 3 years now.
Okay.
But yeah, like I was at trivia one night and somebody pulled a picture of her on the phone and if it's not her, then she has a twin.
Okay.
So it was very interesting. And I think she might have.
I probably won't be picking.
Yeah. So there you go. This is your tip of the day. If you're online and you feel like.
How do they get out?
I don't know. I guess somebody hacked into a phone or whatever.
Is it the same guy who
into everybody else's phone? Probably.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Mad props to Michael. Belmont Street.
I checked it on Facebook.
That's, that looks good.
Blakey. Homemade.
Very nice. Very nice.
Big stuff with spinach.
There's nothing wrong with spinach.
Anyway.
You ever had like a spinach omelet before?
No.
They're good.
No.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm from Taylor Swift's titties.
Yeah.
CMA.
Yeah.
CMA. So, yeah, I didn't watch it, but.
Yeah.
I mean, from what I heard, it was a typical country music award show. With, you know, crazy country stuff happening with people in cowboy hats.
I watched Big Bang Theory. That was my,
What confuses me is that, Steven, and are you the only one without nude pics of myself on your phone?
I don't have
nude
pics on
my phone. I'll plead the fifth.
Anyway.
Moving on. What else can we
talk about? Speaking of music, I guess, there's the new release this week, which
is
nothing.
Pretty quiet new release week. One thing.
Okay, we talked about him already.
Okay.
Who are we talking about?
Noel Gallagher.
We did talk about Noel Gallagher.
Which is ridiculously amazing.
So apparently this dude, this guy, Mac Miller, is a big deal. Because he's going to have, like, the number one record next week.
Yeah, I saw him. I have no idea.
I have no bloody idea who he is. He's apparently a white rapper.
Yep.
He's from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And we have writers. We have two writers from Pittsburgh, actually. So somebody should have put us up on this already.
Yeah.
Dave and Zach, you guys are not doing your job.
I'm getting old. I'm just like, I
think that's the first time someone's come out with, like, a big record. I'm like, who the hell is this person?
Who's like Sam Adams a few years back, whenever in Boston.
Yeah.
Although I think it was, like, I think his case was.
Well, didn't Sam Adams buy, like, a ton of copies of his own record?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's, like, very wealthy, so, like, iTunes, like, bought, like, a shit ton.
Right. Yeah. So, a little different. Yeah. So, anyway, if there are any guests in the room or listening who actually know who Mac Miller is, and, is he a good rapper? Like, should I buy his record or anything? Let us know.
If he's white and his name isn't Eminem or Vanilla, he's kind of going to say no.
If his name is Vanilla Ice, we're not buying his record. Vanilla Ice.
Come on, Ninja.
Oh, God, Ninja Rap. Oh, Lord.
What if the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Come on, he's in the movie, too.
He is in the movie.
But, it was quiet. Now 40.
Now 40. David Lynch.
Going with the craziness of Chris Connelly, if you're an industrial metal fan, we know him from every industrial metal.
Right, yeah, I was reading up on him because I was listening to the Michelle and Biggie Cello record. Because
he's on it.
And he's on it. And I was like, who the hell is this Chris Conley guy? So I hit Wikipedia, and I was like, oh, he's been in a lot of bands.
There's an awesome book out that came out a few years ago. I forget what it's called. It's like My Life at World of Cop.
Right. Was he in Ministry probably? If you're in Ministry, you're probably.
Yeah, he's in on my favorite Ministry record of all time. The Nine Terrible Thing That Tastes.
I've heard of that record. Yeah.
So it's from 1989. It's
12.
Okay.
Yeah, you're 12.
Yeah.
Unless you've been lying by your age.
No. So he's on that. He's been in camp. He's been since KMFDM, KickBase. Other.
A lot of these guys like totally jump from like band to band to band.
He's in this band called The Damage Manual, with kind of like this industrial super group with like guys from Killing Joke and guys from Pick Bass and just like kind of all over the place, Jaw Level. So, yeah. His record came out this week. It's one of those weird things where it's got like all these extreme metal people like on the record, but it's not. I mean, it's a heavy record, but it's not.
No, like it's a metal record.
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's definitely heavy, but it's not. You know, he's a weird kind of singer. He's very much like David Bowie when he's singing.
He has that very theatrical kind of.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The guy can sing. Like I feel bad. Like he doesn't get props. He's one of those guys that deserves like props. Bad. And hopefully the Michelle record maybe gives them a little bit of...
No, I mean, I think they're kind of in the same boat. I think they have their kind of culty sort of group, and that's kind of it. We're still, you know, we're getting towards the end of the year. And there's still a couple of big records coming out.
Next week.
Drake is next week.
Yeah.
You look like you were about to say
that. I was.
Oh, go ahead.
The best hip-hop record of the year.
Ah, Childish Gambino comes out next Tuesday. Yeah. That's correct. In case you people don't know, Childish Gambino is Donald Glover, who plays Troy on Community.
Yeah, and he's been rapping for a while.
He's been rapping for a while. He's put out a bunch of mixtapes.
Yeah.
And actually, I think one thing that kind of struck me is that Donald Glover, Childish Gambino and Drake are actually kind of similar.
Yeah.
I mean,
although
you guys,
Gambino, I think, I mean, in that aspect, I'm like, Gambino, I think, is more like Drake is more like R&B. I feel like sometimes, like I think the problem I had with Drake when that record came out was just like I wanted more.
Right.
Like the first singles that came out were like, really good, and then the rest of the record was just like,
Well, his album's leaked, so if anybody wants to hear it, I guess they have the opportunity to. But it's interesting that like both of them have acting backgrounds, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know.
And writing, I mean, the thing with Glover is just like, I'm like, he's a great writer, too.
Right.
I'm like,
he's
a writer.
Because he was a writer
at 30
Rock before he was cast in Community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I saw him, and I don't mean to make you jealous or anything, but I saw him live last
I did see him at Paradise, so.
Okay, there you go. And the show was pretty amazing.
Yeah, earlier this year, I saw him at Paradise. He did a stand-up and a pop set, And, He's great comedian, great actor, great. I mean, and the hip hop, like the crowd. I mean, granted, it's a lot of like fucking frat kids or like, but it's just like it's gets the crowd going. It's just like, and he's like writes some really great.
Right. I mean, he came out. He had a full band.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had like a cello player. He had like a string, string guy, like a band. Violinist. Oh no, yeah, cello's the big thing, right? It was a violinist. My fault. And I actually played violin for like 4 years,
oh,
so I should have known that. But yes, I'm retarded. That was a pretty good show.
Yeah.
Also, I think in the next couple of weeks we have a new Rihanna record.
21st, 22nd.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, we've got
excellent. Yes, because Rihanna puts out a record every 4 months.
It's one of those things. I'm like, I think I accept maybe like the first record I have all of them.
I have all of them except for the first one too.
Yeah. I'm like, it's it's like they're really solid.
They are pretty good.
I still don't have a single.
Nickelback.
It's been
a few years.
They're one of those bands, they stick to kind of like the rock star format where they're like 4 years.
Right.
And then we're going to put, like, but the problem with Nickelback, though, is just like they live off the singles so much from the last record. It's like they probably have a single out now from the last
record
still. And they're, they're going to,
I was hanging out with some friends over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to my pop, those guys, Jeff and Jason and Michael. And we're talking about Nickelback, and somebody brought up an interesting point, which is that if you play like all of Nickelback's hits back to back, they pretty much all have the exact same chord progression.
Mm-hmm.
And then I literally like in my head played back like every Nickelback song I could think of. And I was like, shit, they're right.
Yeah. They're another one of those bands where I have way too many of them in my collection because I've just accumulated them from my phone.
Frozen
stuff? Like
I was hoping that you would catch yourself that day, man.
I've never, ever, ever bought a Nickelback record.
I wish I could say that.
Yeah.
I've actually bought a Nickelback
record.
I own one Nickelback album, and I paid money for it. I mean, I bought it used.
Yeah.
If that's any consolation. But, I mean, Nickelback to me is just kind of like, there's not, to me, a lot of difference between Nickelback and then, like, when we, when we were growing up, like, Foreigner and
bands.
I mean, pretty much the same
thing.
Speed
Wagon.
Yeah.
That kind of
I just get cracked up when people say, well, American rock, and I'm like,
they're Canadian.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think people sort of kind of forget that sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there have been people who've, like, called, like, Drake an American rapper.
Yeah.
Drake's Canadian. Bieber's Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
Right? All these guys are, all these people from Canada all of a sudden. Nickelback, to me, like, they're not bad. They're just, they're harmless. And they're generic. Every generation has.
And they are making Roadrunner Records money, which is good because then Roadrunner
then they can
Records
put out stuff that people aren't going
to
buy.
Exactly. Yeah, so Roadrunner can keep putting out issues that I want. And metal records that
so world keep buying.
We just signed Gojira, which I ridiculously excited about.
I always wondered if you pronounced that with like the hard J or like the
Gojira.
Because then it sounds like a Spanish girl's name.
It's French. Well, I mean the band's French, so I'm gonna go with Gojira.
It's Gojira, yeah. The monster is.
Yeah, Gojira.
Yeah. I always thought about somebody like leaning out like a window and going like, Gojira, come here.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have, more fall, the rest of the fall. This Korn.
Yeah, Korn has a new record coming out. There's a Mary J. Blige record coming out.
Chevelle has a new record coming out.
Plus, there are a couple other, like, rock bands.
There's Daughtry has a new record.
Oh yeah, Daughtry. Speaking of Nickelback, jeez.
There's
Daughtry's Nickelback Jr.
The guy from The Voice has the record. I forget.
Oh, Javier Colon.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just started on a pre-order.
Yeah.
I assume.
Yeah.
And
his second album.
Yes.
Because I actually owned that guy's first album. Owned. Yeah,
because there's not a lot of, I mean,
the years are wrapping up.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a pretty big few weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think December 6th is probably the last big
movie
thing. Yeah.
And then things start all over again. So, I mean, at this point in the year,
January,
yeah. Well, now it's kind of time for everybody to start putting together their best of the year lists.
Yeah, which we've already started.
Yeah, which we've already started doing. And I think we still got like another 3 weeks or 4 weeks to kind of.
I whipped out 25, like, in no.
Yeah, I got, like, 20, and now I have to kind of go back and, like, listen to a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, there's a few, like, I'm just, like, and I was doing my list, and I'm like, oh, the lady's going to kill me if I don't have this in the tops. No, she's not paying attention. But, yeah, I mean, I was surprised. I'm like, because we did if you're around, say, the middle of the year, we kind of, like, mid-year kind of top 10 and stuff like that. I was surprised by how many that were on that list. Are still on my list because a lot of times I'm just like, I'm not listening to it. Like, here's a spoiler: White Lies Ritual, still number one on my list. I've been wanting that record.
You don't need to buy that.
Yeah, I know.
So.
Like, I
didn't
want to
see them in concert. Yeah.
I mean, that record, I've been wanting to see it for, I wanted that record for so long, and then came out. I'm like, and I'm still, I was listening to it last week. I'm like, any record that I'm like, I buy at the beginning of the year and I'm like, still listening to it, put it on, like, it deserves, like, at least in the top five.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, there are a lot on my top 10 list where I'm just like, yep, this is definitely going to stay out here. Like, I don't see it, you know.
There's been some pretty decent stuff out this year.
Very big goth industrial year for me. I'm really surprised. I'm like, I love, like, that's kind of, you know, I listen to a lot of metal and stuff, but I'm like, that kind of stuff is like, Typo was like my favorite band for the longest time and stuff like that. And, you know, I grew up with, like, Ministry and Skinny Puppy and all that stuff, whatever. So, it's just, like, that stuff is just, like, I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, Skinny Puppy put out a record this year. Ogre did. There's the British band Valkyria, who's kind of, like, Peter Murphy, Bauhaus on speed. You know, and there's just, like, a lot. And then there's, like, bands like Duran Duran or whatever, where it's just, like, we kind of put out our record last year, but we really put out
it really came out this year. It's 2011.
So,
it's not a 2010 album.
Yeah.
And
I was going back and listening to that, too. I'm just, like, yeah, I think I have to add this
for. Yeah, you know what? I hadn't listened to it for a while.
Yeah,
and then when I saw them in concert,
yeah.
I was like, oh, this is a really good album.
Yeah.
And turned out to be a much better album than they actually ended up being in concert.
Right.
I mean, they were, when people have asked me how the show was,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'm glad I went because I can say I saw Duran Duran in concert.
Yeah, yeah. You've never seen it?
Right, this is my first time.
Okay.
In terms of how good the show was,
mm-hmm.
I mean, first of all, Simon is not in show shape.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm pretty sure Simon was wearing some Spanx underneath the,
whoa.
You know, underneath whatever his costume was. And he doesn't have, like, a lot of stage presence. Like, it wasn't, you know, I was talking to Carl yesterday about people who've been out for a while to do shows. And, like, I saw Rod Stewart earlier this year. And Rod Stewart and his old ass went out there and he put on a show. Like, went out there and charmed everybody. Simon Le Bon was kind of acting like he was just waiting for the end of the show so he could get his paycheck and kind of go home.
Well, I'm like, I mean, to that effect too, it's just like, I'm like, I can really respect, like, the fans that I like, that I'm still fans of and stuff like that, where it's just like, you know, like Killing Joke, who has been around since like the late 70s or whatever, I'm like, they're like 50-year-old guys
right.
in the band, because the reunited, like, the original lineup and stuff. I saw them last December and it's just like so much energy and, like,
right.
we're playing like Paradise and you think they're playing, you know,
some huge arena.
Yeah, like Madison Square Garden,
right.
like that. I'm just like, and they still, like, you know, will fucking kill you.
Right.
Like, regardless if it's like five people in the audience.
Yeah.
Like
the show wasn't bad. It was very, professional.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there wasn't a lot of.
I have fond memories of Duran Duran. I'm like, the first time I saw them was at the Orpheum, when after Medavoland came out, and they were down to like. It was Nick Rhodes and Simon who were the only, like, regulars in the band.
Right.
And they went and Orpheum was having, like, sound issues or whatever. And towards the tail end of it or whatever, like, sound, like, blew up completely.
Right.
And like it was on, they were doing Rio or whatever, and they ended up they incited the crowd or whatever.
I mean, it's not they need to.
But they incited the crowd to sing along. It's like I'm like it was.
They don't need to sing a word of the song like that because
yeah, they still did. And like you see, like Simon and Sewell. And the next time I saw them was they did the they played the first concert ever at a cancer arena on the Astronaut Tour. I was a little disappointed because I still see the original five and then
Andy Taylor.
I get the Taylor Swift. Well, I know John and Andy's father had just like passed away or whatever. I think who is their current guitarist now, whoever it is.
Right, whoever it is.
But
Brandon
still, I was it was an awesome show. I'm like,
right.
It was a really, really, really good show. And like, it was the first, to be like in the first rock show at like this new venue.
Right.
With Duran Duran. As like we're the main act.
Right.
Like, it's awesome.
Right.
Like, they deserve to be playing shows like that.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they were good, but they weren't like, it wasn't like, seeing a Duran Duran show, I imagine, like 1985 or something like that. Like, it was just kind of a different vibe.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's what you get when you see bands who've been out for a long time and are just kind of going through the motions, I guess, a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, like the girls were screaming, the place was full. That was kind
of. Well, we had this conversation, me and Molly, the other night about, you know, you go to these shows and then these bands are like, you know, like going through the motions or whatever. It's like, you know, like you have to wonder if. This is just like you are that genuine for every show that you go to, or that, you know, or it's just kind of like an act, and it's just like, okay, insert city here.
I think it depends.
Yeah, it depends on the band a lot of time. Like, we had an experience where we saw a band, I'm not going to name, at the Paradise, usually doesn't know. And so fucking awesome. Like, you're so into it. And
we were like charmed by him.
Yeah, he was just touched and stuff, and he's like, oh my god, he's like, you guys are so fucking awesome, blah blah. He got bootlegged from like 5 nights later.
And it was
the exact same feel.
It might like, just as genuine sounding. And
It's like I can deal with it if it's like the Hives, just because I can see them, because like the Hives put on a fucking show, like, and they're like, you know, hell, I like gets into it and just like, you know, like talks it up and stuff like that. I can't deal with it when it's just like, oh my god, you guys are fucking awesome, and it's just like, and then find out it's like, no, I'm just kidding.
Everybody.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not special. It's like, I want to feel like
I'm not the special chick.
Yeah.
You've got a bunch of special chicks.
I hate the bands and like where they're just like, oh my god, you blew the roof off of like Chicago, and like you totally. I'm like, and like you can see the crowd and they're like,
right.
It's just like you're fucking saying that because this is the spot of where it's just like, okay, we have to change guitars. Banter.
Right.
It's like, no.
It's a script.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, how do we start talking about, talking about best albums of the year.
Yeah.
Talking about Duran Duran.
And then stuff coming next year. Oh, probably next year, January.
And we've got a couple of shows that we're going to together.
Yeah. We got,
we've got Mr. Doty coming up on Tuesday.
Yeah. Tuesday. 15th with his band Fantastic.
Fantastic.
New book coming out in
January. Book comes out in January.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, that should be a good show. And then we've got Peter Murphy, who you mentioned a little while ago.
You mean She Wants Friends?
Yeah.
Well, She Wants Her Friends opening for Peter Murphy. Or supporting, or...
Is it co-headlining?
I believe. Is it co-headlining? I don't think it's co-headlining.
I don't know. She Wants Friends has a huge set. It's been like a...
Co-headlining? Okay.
So.
But.
We'll see. The lady is a little bit, has decided that She Wants Revenge might be on.
Jump the shark.
Turned into a Hot Topic band.
That's exactly what it was. It is the Hot Topic bandness of it.
Really?
I saw them then, you know, like that's the problem I have.
We saw them.
Their record release party at Kiki the Bears, and it was like only like certain things. It was like a fully closed item.
Right.
Night. And it, you know, Kiki.
No, it wasn't their record release. It was, because it was a few months ago, I think, you know. It was like 2 or 3 months before the record even.
Oh, it was like a preview, I think. That.
Yeah, but they were opening for another band. So.
Well?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because we left.
I got pretty wasted that night.
But it's like we saw them again. Was it. When did we see them next time? Was
the
it
The Paradise after the album on the fourth album?
Maybe. Anyway. But yeah, and they're like, they did one of those, just like, how many people were there at Teeth of the Bear?
And like, you know, I'm like, woo, there's someone down there. I'm like, you're a fucking liar.
I didn't see you there. I took names.
And TT's, I mean, you're small.
Yeah, really. You can only fit like,
yeah.
I think my biggest issue is that they have such an amazing, like, the first album, the first EP, and maybe the EP after that, is like, the first couple of releases they had were full wallet, start to finish. Like, and I don't know if maybe I just,
Wallace is funny because that's the label they were on, signed by Fred Durst.
By Fred Durst, yes.
So it was just a very bizarre. It's just a very bizarre thing. Maybe I've grown and changed.
Yeah, I mean, people have grown, you know.
They've definitely changed their sound from where they were. Like, but the thing is, just like now they're on. It's weird because it's like you put up this record. It's very much like a tribute to like the Valley and like 80s kind of.
And it might be the West Coast influence that I don't like.
Yeah.
The earlier albums are much more near city East Coast based.
Yeah. And you figure, it's funny, because it's like you have that, and but then they go on this tour where they're co-billing with, you know, Peter Murphy, and
which
like...
Which is like a goth king.
Yeah, right. And they're like, we're doing our darkest set.
If you're not playing Killing Time.
I know. I get to check this out. So.
Anyway.
There's a song we've been dying to play it now.
We've never played it live.
Yeah.
That's when you tweet them and go, hey, you know, it's my birthday.
Well, Jesse asked him when he
did the thing. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah,
because the problem is Adam, he doesn't realize he does it, but there's like
but
a very
piano
line in it.
Yeah.
And he'll randomly play it between songs, and I think I'm like, oh,
yeah, that's right.
And
then
he asked Jess, and he's like, and Jess is like, I don't think he's that. I don't think he's ever done that. And I'm like, no, I've been there. Trust me.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah, so that's coming out next week. I have no Acid on coming up soon, I think.
Yeah, I think that's coming up soon. That's like the 20th or something.
And,
like that.
It's week, yeah, week of Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I mean, I think next week will pretty much wrap my shows up for the year.
Yeah, December, there's a kind of like, there's a few, there's a Slipknot fan, or read my Slipknot 10th
Your 10th
anniversary, yeah.
Of Iowa.
Which I saw a lot. I have it. I have two copies of the CD, and I have the vinyl. I can hold off on getting that box for you. The what was it? Corey Taylor's going to be at the Middle East doing a spoken word / acoustic tour. We had a book that came out.
Oh,
it's okay.
I think I remember you telling me about that.
The book's okay. It's good for what it is. I'm like, I'm obviously a fan, but the book was just like, I want a little bit more. Like, I mean, like the Tony Iommi book I was telling you about. Thank you for it, by the way.
You're very welcome.
You know, that or like shredded autobiography of Lance Henriksen or whatever. Just like, I mean, they're like thick and there's stuff and there's a lot of stuff in it. It's like the Corey Taylor book, like significantly was probably like, you know, just no.
Hope you didn't pay too much for it.
No, I mean, it was Amazon. So, I mean, it was a good deal. But it's just like, you know, it's just like there wasn't a lot there. I'm like, I want more stories. Like,
right.
That's the whole thing.
Right.
Like, you know, right, like,
you buy books like that.
Yeah. And
yeah.
It's like, I'm like, it was kind of a concept book. I'm like, it was based on like the Seven Deadly Sins. And it's like, it was interesting. But I'm like, I want more stories. I'm like,
it
I don't want
to get too pretentious.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm just like, I'm like, and the show is like $25. I'm just like, I don't know.
Yeah. And I think the only show that I've got in December that I'm debating going to is Jay-Z and Kanye West.
Mm.
And
November.
No, it's that. Oh, it might be November.
Mm-hmm.
We'll look at that later. But the rumor is that tickets are phenomenally expensive. And, you know, I love Jay-Z and I love Kanye West, but I'm not spending more than like $100
yeah.
for those guys. So, you know, and it's not like they need the money. Man, lowest ticket price is $85.
11/21, I am so awesome.
11/21, yeah, that's right. So a week from Monday.
The only other ones are coming out in December, Deer and Gray, which I have not seen yet. I've been at a Deer and Gray show, but I've not seen, well, I've been at a show where they're playing. I missed that.
Okay.
They're on Family Values. It's when they resurrected Family Values a few years ago, and like we missed that. But that's one on some I talk. 25 right now, which is like
it's on the bucket list.
It's
on the bucket list.
Yeah, and that's another one of those bands where I'm like, I wanted to see for a while, and like I haven't seen it. And then Clutch is closing up the year over at well, not closing up the year, but tail end of last week in December over at House of Blues.
Cool.
Last time I saw them at House of Blues,
And in December, I was really sick.
So I would like to enjoy it this time.
That's probably a good idea when you go to show.
Yeah, I did see him. I saw him early this year, I think, was the Motorhead show.
Yes, that was.
Yeah, so those are, and they're
late winter, early spring.
Ridiculously awesome every time I see them. I think I'm almost up in the double digits then.
Nice.
Pretty sure.
What are you?
And they have a Corrosion of Conformity opening song. And it's the original three-piece lineup of Corrosion of Conformity, not the hard rock four-piece that they kind of like went into. So the punky COC.
Tell me, dude, you like the metal Mark McGrath?
That really bad taste in his name. Steve, you're unattractive to me right now.
I wasn't paying attention.
There are also, and we briefly touched on this, because we've been talking about books. There are a lot of good music books out right now and coming out. We talked about Mike Billy's book.
Yeah, you want
to
be
which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, have you read it? Yeah.
I don't know if I can discuss this on the air. I don't want Mike to kill me.
Anyway.
But there's that. There's actually the Bob Mould book, which I'm getting through slowly.
it's a lot, but I mean, that's another one. It's just like a lot of substance to it.
Yeah,
I like
this. I'm about a third of the way through the book.
It's a good,
it's a pretty good read. We've reviewed a couple of books on the site lately. Mm-hmm. Nile Rodgers from Chic wrote his autobiography, mm-hmm. Which is pretty cool. Definitely a lot of sex, drugs, and rock and roll happen in that book. I read the Jermaine Jackson book, which turned out to be pretty good.
Okay.
Way above my admittedly very mediocre expectations.
Okay.
It was entertaining enough. So, I mean, that was a plus.
The Duff McKagan show, or just released the book.
Really?
Yeah. I'm nice.
Is it called I Should Be Dead Then?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I think everybody in Velvet Revolver has written
a book. Scott Lyons wrote a book.
Yeah, which is okay.
All right.
Matt Serum wrote a book.
Slash in the book? I'm sure Slash in the book. Yeah. Okay. There you go.
Yeah.
Membership in Velvet Revolver comes with a book deal.
Except for that other guitar player.
Who nobody knows.
Yeah.
Random dude. Random Velvet Revolver dude. I found out yesterday, first of all, I got that I Want My MTV book, which has started off really, really good.
Yeah, I would say, we were talking about this too. I'm like, I've got to say that the oral history books are the best read.
Yeah, and it's totally like an oral history. It's not like a straight up narrative type book. It's
so the dirt's like that,
right.
Which is perfect.
Right.
The British Sesame Street book, which is like that.
Oh.
It's actually not a particular book, but it's an oral history of Sesame Street.
Right.
It's just the players are involved and
stuff
like that.
And there was one about Saturday Night Live.
Which I have,
I lent to somebody and never got back. Life in New York, that's a great book.
Mm-hmm.
I really like those all the same kind of things. I think those work really, really well.
I'm a big fan of first person narratives.
Yeah. Because it's like, it's like you're having a conversation as opposed to like reading a book.
Yeah.
We found out, or I found out yesterday, through our own Drew's Facebook status update that R. Kelly is writing a book.
I saw that as well.
It's called Solar Coaster.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of interesting things about the concept of R. Kelly writing a book. Number one is that I remember reading somewhere that R. Kelly is functionally literate. So the fact that he's writing a book just kind of seems...
Maybe he didn't see the don't pee on me sign in some of the stances. Maybe that was...
What does that say? And the other thing is, that if R. Kelly's writing a book, a large portions of it are going to be fiction. So
I hope there's a big story about Space Jam on it. Saw that movie in the theater.
Oh boy.
And who else has there's I think the long delayed Bret Michaels book is finally coming out this year.
Okay. To find out if he really was awake.
That's the kind of book I'm like, why would
he? Yeah, I'm pretty sure Bret Michaels has some interesting things to say.
And there was some other rock and roller guy that I like, sort of, that has a book coming out next year as well. Oh, Rex Brown from Pantera has a book. So he'll be the only member of Pantera.
Okay.
So, which would be interesting.
There's some interesting books floating around. I was somewhere in some bookstore, and Rick Springfield has a book, and Pat Benatar has a book now, and Linda Carlisle has a book. It's like, I don't know if there are any rock stars left who
have not written any of the guys in Metallica
have. I don't know if any of those guys would write a book.
I know. Newstead.
Yeah, that's true. There seems to be adjacent. Yeah, yeah, probably nothing. Yeah. Captain Money.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
True.
So, yeah, lots of books happening. Eddie Murphy needs to write a book.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, find out what's going on in that car for training. Very funny joke by Steven. He wrote it while he was trapped in the closet. So, I mean, it's 9:35. If you are listening in the chat room, we've got 25 minutes left. You can still call in. The number is 347-850-1653. And holy shit, just like that, the phone rings. And I guess we're going to have to pull this up so we can actually hear people. Hold on. Let me see something here.
Hold on.
Yep, now you can hear us again. We just had about halfway. Hello, caller, are you there?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you
nicely.
Excellent.
It's Drew. What's up, man?
Not much, man. What's up with you guys? I realized I just turned in at the... tuned in at the book portion. I don't know if I missed it, but have we discussed R. Kelly's?
We did.
That was already discussed.
Yes, but you were brought up as sort of the linchpin of that conversation.
Score.
So, do you have anything to add about R. Kelly's proposed book?
Not really. I think it's a very strong possibility. I don't know if anybody else thinks this or can come up with any competition for it, but I think that may be the most hilariously titled musician memoir that I've ever seen.
That is a pretty good title. I mean, I still feel like it should have been something like shower or fountain related. I'm interested to see what a book written by him would be about. I can't really say that I'm interested in reading it.
Right.
I'm sure there would be plenty of comedic value.
It is on audible.com.
Oh, that would be pretty awesome.
Yes.
An R. Kelly book narrated by Samuel L. Jackson.
Yes.
If that actually happens, we need to sue.
Yeah.
Because that would have been totally our
that's
idea.
True. That's true.
That would have been totally our idea.
You're like, yeah, so I got this idea.
Right. Yeah, well, and we will keep this recording to, when it's time to collect the money. But
royalties!
Yeah, exactly. You know, we discussed the R. Kelly book.
Okay.
Yeah. I know. What else is on your mind, Drew? You've got our attention.
Oh, man. Well, now I'm all sorts of on the spot. Because prior to this, all I was thinking about was how quickly I could possibly get to the remote to turn off Whitney.
Oh,
I have two, but it got renewed for a second season.
Did it really? Yeah, I just like I haven't watched a second of that thing.
The previews were enough, man. Like that's about all I could handle of it. That and having seen her stand up, I can tell you that it's singularly unpleasant.
So I guess what's the name of the actress?
Whitney Cummings.
Whitney Cummings, yeah.
Okay. And she's not funny.
The Twitter is awful.
Correct.
Yeah.
Maybe
I think she made a deal with the devil, though, because she has a... She's
the new Sarah Silverman, whatever.
But she wrote her...
But the old Sarah Silverman sucks.
Yeah, but she... She wrote her executive produced the Two Broke Girls, too.
Which also looks terrible. I watched like 5 minutes of one of those.
It's doing amazing.
Really?
Yeah, Whitney is like shitty in the range, but like...
I don't understand why nerd girls think Kat Denning is someone to look up to. So just because a girl has a rag and isn't a stick doesn't mean that she's like, should be your role model.
Yeah.
Like, she's terrible too. Like, what?
Well, I don't like the nerd girl thing. Like, I'm not totally, like, it's like when the news was announced that Gibbard and Zoe Deschanel or whatever their names broke up. And everybody's, like, got a hard on for this chick.
Yeah.
And I'm like, She's not funny.
No. New Girl wasn't bad.
Really? Oh, God.
Oh, come on. You laugh. Anyway.
Drew, do you have you watched New Girl at all? Do you have anything to add to the Zooey Deschanel porn? Am I saying her name right?
Wait,
yeah.
So, New Girl? Is that what?
Yeah.
I watched the pilot, I believe, and I haven't seen it since then.
I've seen three episodes so far, so...
I mean, I didn't think it was horrible.
She
seems like an intolerable hipster chick.
Yeah.
I wish Damon Wayans Jr. would have stayed on, but.
I think he's much better served probably in Happy Endings.
Yeah, I need to see that.
Happy Endings went from like a show with potential to like an awesome show.
I need to watch that.
Yeah. So. It's officially done whatever the opposite of Jumping the Shark.
Wayans was on the premiere of New Girl, I think, because they weren't sure.
They were happy Wayans was going to get renewed.
So, yeah.
Right.
And they got picked up and then they had to replace him.
Yeah.
So,
Did they replace him with just like some other random black dude?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they actually changed the character too, didn't they?
Yeah, it's a different.
Yeah, so it wasn't
person.
Like they were trying to be like, it's the same guy.
Same guy, right.
It's Becky from Roseanne.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I heard about that and I kind of feel like during the pilot, I found the original guy like very likable. So I feel like I would have been tied to that if I were to.
Yeah,
then
you
continue. And then no.
Yeah, you know, but I'd say if we don't like this Whitney show, we replace Whitney Cummings with Whitney Houston.
You know what? Kelly Clarkson's new record is totally a Whitney Houston record.
Is it really?
I think Kelly Clarkson's really excited about that because she's, you know, I remember her idol being like, Whitney Houston's my
idol. A Whitney Houston record in what sense?
Like old school 80s.
Okay, I was about to say pre-Bobby or post-Bobby?
Pre.
Okay.
like good.
That was Whitney, right?
Yeah, that was Whitney.
But, yeah.
Because I saw, I guess Whitney Houston's acting again. She's in a movie coming out. And
Preacher's Wife 2. Preacher's Wife 2.
What?
Preacher's Wife 2.
And I don't think it's Preacher's Wife 2.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Saw that shit in the theaters.
You saw the Preacher's Wife in the theater?
I did.
Were you the only white person in the entire theater?
Well, me and my friend. Come on, Denzel 2. Awesome. And now the ghost.
So, apparently in this movie, first of all, Jordan Sparks plays her daughter.
Is this a Tyler Perry movie?
No, it's not a Tyler Perry movie. It's not a Tyler Perry movie.
Okay.
Janet Jackson does a Tyler Perry movie.
Okay.
But I guess Entertainment Tonight or like Extra, one of those shows, interviewed Whitney Houston, as she was on set.
Yeah.
And now whenever I see or hear Whitney speak, only thing I can think of is Deborah Wilson doing the Whitney Houston impression on Mad TV. Because I didn't watch a whole lot of Mad TV, but that woman.
Well, the big fat guy from that is going to be in the fucking Three Stooges movie.
Yeah, is he so big as that?
Yeah, he's playing Curly.
What's his name?
I don't know.
Oh, crap.
I know this. I'm trying to think.
Google it up, Drew. In the meantime, it was weird because I was like, you know, I was channeling Mad TV when I saw like Whitney speak. It's just. You know, crack is whack. Like, and I'm sure, I hope that Whitney is on the road to recovery and that she's not doing drugs anymore, but that shit apparently stays with you. Exactly.
Got an answer for us. We're looking at Will Sasso.
Yes, Will Sasso.
Yeah, and Three Stooges.
It also includes such luminaries as Sofia Vergara, Jane Lynch, and Nicole Snooki Polizzi.
What?
Yes. According to IMDb, Snooki is in the new Three Stooges movie.
Wow, it's gonna be like a cameo.
Did she get hit in the face with like a pie?
I hope not.
I can only imagine.
And that was not a euphemism. I actually hope that she gets legitimately hit in the face with an actual pie.
I prefer Bobby Moynihan as Snooki in the. I don't know. Like that seems a little more acceptable, but
so weird. When did they decide to do Snooki movie roles?
Also, Mike the Situation, Sorrentino.
Oh, Jesus.
It's going to be cameo.
Yeah, it's got to be one of those, like, Muppet, weird, like, Muppet pop culture cameo type thing.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, you're wearing a green shirt today, too.
I am wearing a green shirt.
Okay. Make sure you cover Entertainment Weekly.
With Kremen on?
Yeah. Awesome.
I have it somewhere on here.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I'm excited for the Muppet. I'm actually, we should go and see the Muppet.
Okay, because I don't have anyone to go with. And when I'm going, I want to see it. It's the night of Peter Murphy.
We can't do that. When does it open again?
Wednesday before Thanksgiving. So
we should go see the Muppet movie together.
All right. That's good.
It'll be awesome.
Yeah.
You know what I've been, this is a little weird, but I've been playing the hell out of the Muppet album that came out a little earlier in the summer.
Anyway, go ahead.
But the Mana Mana by The Fray is actually, like, pretty hilarious.
I can't wrap my head around it.
Really? So I've been playing that on the loop for the past, like, 4 days.
That's cool.
Yeah. Walk around singing Mana Mana to myself.
Yeah, well, the soundtrack comes out next week, I think, for the actual movie. The real soundtrack for it. I don't usually watch, like, cooked for movies too much. But they had this movie website I go on, darkhorizons.com. It's really great.
Duly noted.
But I went on it yesterday, and they had some extended clip of, like, the first dance scene from the movie or whatever. I'm like, it looks fucking ridiculous. So I'm like, I can't wait. I'm a little bummed that Frank Oz isn't involved at all, because he's, you know, one of the only other, like, probably one of the only puppeteers who's not involved in it.
Right.
Especially because, you know, he's one of the original guys, he's not involved. I mean,
Gonzo's
involved in
all right.
I haven't seen Gonzo enough in commercials, so I'm hoping Gonzo's not cut out.
Well, you know, I mean, Gonzo's never really been part of, like, the A-team, I think, in terms of puppetry.
I think he should be, though, because
Gonzo's awesome.
But, I mean, it looks fun.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Like,
I'm pretty psyched to see that movie.
And I love the marketing campaign and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's been pretty inventive.
Yeah.
And I'm also a big fan of the Jason Segel, so.
I am too.
Yeah.
So I was, I love getting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah, that was a good movie. Yeah.
The, Freaking Geeks.
Freaking Geeks,
big fan.
Yes. Yeah, good deal. And I know that you're excited about the upcoming Twilight movie.
What?
Is it out yet? No. You can speak up. Did you hear that, Drew?
I did.
Reserve for number one.
What?
Sorry, you're president.
Allow me to translate for you. Jesse likes Twilight, but he doesn't want to admit it to the group.
Oh, okay.
And he's going to see the new movie, whatever it's called, Breaking Something or Other, that comes out, I guess, next Friday.
Well, I mean, to each their own.
be a politician.
I can't weigh in too much on the Twilight franchise. I do know, we did see the first one, just in interest of kind of seeing what everything was about.
That was kind of the hub and stuff.
You're so embarrassed. He's so embarrassed. You're like turning red.
I don't think that to anybody.
It's okay. Because I can't speak about it, because I can make fun of the Twilight fad, but I can't make fun of actual Twilight, because I don't know what the Twilight is like beyond the first movie, which seemed pretty inoffensive to me.
I know nothing about Twilight, but I feel like making fun anyway.
Highly offensive.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's something to partake in, but in terms of actual movie making, I can't sit here and say that it was like the worst movie I've ever seen or anything like that. I mean, because I am still
there are worse movies out there. I'm going to go on record.
Yeah, they're not worse movies where young girls are trying to emulate this awful human being, like terrible girl who thinks it's okay for her boyfriend, you know, bite the baby out of her abdomen. I mean,
wait, what?
Run that
by me again?
Yeah.
All I heard was like bite baby and abdomen.
Yeah, I'm really not going to get into this on this.
I feel like I heard something mildly disturbing just now, but I can't confirm or deny that.
We'll tell you more.
We'll talk about this some
other time. I told Mrs. Jesse sees the trailer for the new Snow White movie.
What? Is it animated?
No, there's two dueling, kind of on topic, but not. There's two dueling Snow White movies that are coming out next year. One got named Mirror Mirror by Carson Singh.
Ah, Carson's the guy who directed The Losing My Religion video.
Yeah.
I remember
so,
him from the DNA.
So he's he's directing one of them. The other one, I don't know who the other director is, but it stars Kristen Stewart from Twilight, Charlize Theron, and Chris Hemsworth from Thor. So, and a little movie that you should know about. Actually, I don't know. Between that and Dark Knight, it's going to be tough. But anyway, oh, and The Hobbit. This is a big, it's a big year next year. Anyway.
I know about The Hobbit.
So the first trailer came out about The Avengers. Or no, about, well, Snow White.
Now you're tripping all over yourself.
Snow White today. I don't think Kristen Stewart speaks a word in the entire trailer.
I like, who's going to go see it? I mean, and I'm not.
It looks cool. I'm like, I like Charlize Theron looks like a badass, and then like it looks really cool. But I'm like, not gonna go. It's like she's like a warrior princess kind of thing. It's like, it's a really weird take on Snow White. I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, okay.
Speaking of warrior princesses, when are they gonna make like a She-Ra movie?
Never.
Really?
Yeah.
That's just, I mean, there was Masters of the Universe, so
I know,
that movie
which
like came out.
Starring one
Dolph
of my
Lundgren.
Heroes ever. Yeah.
Is Dolph Lundgren one of your heroes?
I have so many Dolph Lundgren movies. You have no idea.
I'm not sure whether I should be frightened by that or not.
I have a lot. I'm looking for I Come in Peace because of size. It's not available on
Good Lord.
Anyway, I have a lot of Dolph Lundgren movies. Well, they used to be, speaking of your Nickelback and used and stuff like that, they used to be, they'd come in and be like $1.99. Cheap use.
Right.
I'm just like, fuck it,
why not? What the
$1 for a movie, why not?
Right.
Dolph Lundgren.
If you watch it once, you've already got your money's worth.
Also, the best action movie of next year coming out, regardless of all these other things that I just mentioned, Spendables 2. Under the radar right now, but it's filming right now. Stallone, Lundgren, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, I heard about that.
Chuck Norris is in it.
Oh, God.
Come on, when's the last movie Chuck Norris has been in?
Yeah. The subtitle of the movie is going to be called "We All Broke Our Hips."
Yeah, I'm actually watching the documentary about the making of the first one. On, man, the more and more I watch them, I'm like, I will admit, I was kind of let down. Like the Expendables, like in concept, is awesome, but like the execution was just like there was a little bit lacking from the finished product. And like you look at there's this documentary that came out around the same time called Inferno. There was some of the Blu-ray release, but it didn't come with like the regular future release. But it's on Netflix right now, streaming as it is, like a documentary about making all this stuff.
Okay.
Man, Stallone looks so bad.
Well, Sylvester Stallone's 60, probably?
Yeah.
At least?
Well, like, the thing is like, I'm like, we went and saw Rambo in the theater, the last one. Like, I loved it. It was like, it was really, 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 really well done, which he directed. And Rocky Balboa was really, really, really well done, which he directed. And then Expendables came out, and it's just like, the hopes are so high, and it's just like, I think he needed to take a step back and then, like, someone else has to direct this besides me.
Or,
I think that's why.
So that's a Stallone voice.
Yeah. But I think the second one's going to be a lot better just because it's someone else directing. It's Simon West who directed Con Air.
Love that movie.
Yeah.
Nice. Yep.
So right there, it's just kind of like, I'm like, well, okay, this has potential right there.
Gotcha. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, has anybody touched upon this? Have you guys seen this whole thing that the Dark Knight Rises is doing with its score, this kind of interactive thing?
No.
Yeah, they're the composer of the Dark Knight is actually encouraging literally anybody to go to this website and record themselves doing this chant that I guess will accompany Bane on screen.
God.
And he's going to, like, synthesize them all into this, like, massive choir of voices and put every last one in the movie, apparently. So,
interesting.
Being a film scoring kind of guy, I'm like, I will definitely say I'm like the scores for the Batman have been, like, the newer versions of it. I mean, Danny Elfman in the original, the Batman, the original, or the, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The second original one.
We know what you're getting at.
That was the reason I went to school for what I went to school for and stuff like that. And I'm like, I'll say, you know, with the, you know, the James Newton Howard and stuff like that and stuff, they did with the,
That sounds right.
Anyway, so like Diamond Begins and the Dark Knight were like awesome. And I'm like, I don't buy you know, back in the day, like, I would buy, you know, scores, like, all the time and stuff like that. So I don't really buy them that much. And, like, The Dark Knight's probably the last movie film score that I bought on TV that I'm like, I needed to have. I'm like, it's, like, that good. So I'm going to watch it today.
Maybe he will. Excellent. All right. Well, Drew, hey, we're about to wrap things up, so we're going to have to, you know, cut you loose. But,
all right.
Thanks for calling in, joining us for the last few minutes of the podcast. You're obviously welcome anytime.
Sure. Hey, next time.
And, yeah, next time maybe we'll do that tonight when you've got Parks and Rec and, you know, you're torn between us and Rashida Jones.
thank God for DVR.
Well, yeah. All right, guys. Good to talk to you. Keep it coming.
Absolutely. All right.
See ya.
Cool. Peace. All right. So wrapping things up, what do we have left?
I don't know.
We were kind of all over the place today.
Next year in music's going to be awesome.
Next year in music will be awesome.
It's weird, but I'm like, I like the list I have right now for 2011 right now. It's like, it's
2012. Or 2011.
No, okay, for 2011.
Yeah, for
like,
the year so far.
It's just pretty good. I'm like, I have a pretty solid list.
Well, I feel like, for me, like this year, there's been a lot of good albums, but not really like a great album that like totally like.
There's been like maybe five like that have been like, which are obviously going to be on like my top five, but like that have been like these are fucking awesome. And then there's been a lot another one like they're really solid records,
right.
And like, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean this year I think more so than any years recently that I can think of, like I haven't regretted too many of my purchases.
I'm like, yeah, I'm like, this is the first year where I've gone to a point where I'm like, I don't buy a lot of music as I used to. Like,
right.
I mean, if you look at me like in 2010 compared to like 2011,
right.
I'm like, the stuff I'm buying, I'm just like, so it's something like I really need to have, like, because of Fabio.
Although I've been rating Amazon kind of hard these past few years.
Yeah, yeah, too. So, the, you know, and it's happened like the past few weeks a lot more than it has earlier in the year, but I'm like there's a lot of like, you know, I definitely don't buy as much music as I used to.
Right.
Yeah, so. But, I mean, next year, I'm just like, I mean, the beginning of the year and stuff alone, it's just like,
kind of stuff, huh?
Lamb of God in January, they just announced, which I'm insanely excited for. Killing Joke, one of my all-time favorite bands, have just completed recording their 13th record or whatever. It's supposed to come out spring of next year and sort of like some UK tour they're doing in March.
Right.
So I'm like, yeah, that look forward to.
Like the way people don't really take like 4 and 5 year breaks between albums anymore.
Thank God.
So pretty much everybody that didn't release a record this year will be releasing a record next
year. And the thing with me is just like, I'm like, some of my like all like Killing Joke's one of my all time favorites. Testament's one of my all time favorites next year. Therapy is Irish punk metal band.
Judgment Night soundtrack.
but they're like, you know, one of my all time favorites. They're releasing a record next year. Ministry is like in my top five bands of all time, like, you know, reunited and
well, good stuff.
I posted on our site or whatever about you know, on a Facebook page about they put up their first like episode or whatever, like the like, and there's riffs in the background of like, the new record, like,
nice.
Like how much better can you
get?
Kanye's probably good for
you. Yeah, you know. Yeah. So on that note, I guess it's time to wrap up this lovely 90-minute
session. Wrap it up, B.
Yep, wrap it up, B. Gonna actually play us off. We've got a song. We actually, if you remember back a few podcasts ago, we had an artist named Monk on briefly talking about his new record. And we're actually going to play ourselves off with the same song we played with Shut Up Woman that last time that we had him on. He is actually performing in Somerville next weekend as a part of a, my God, I forget the name of the series, I'm so embarrassed. But if you want to know where he's performing, give us a shout and we'll tell you. We'll play us out with a little bit of Sweetly.
Right.
And until next time, Jesse.
Yes, sooner rather than later.
Sooner rather than later. So. Thanks, Drew, for calling in. And we will see you guys next time.
Thanks, everybody.
All right, peace out. Ooh, I wonder if that worked. Nope.
Morning, I walked out the door. I won't be coming here no more. It's best that it happens now before all the bitter sounds cling to the end like a whore. Make the best of this and end it right here. I remember the sound of your voice as you whispered a song to the boys. A moment is photographed, the way that you made me laugh is what I take with me by choice. Sweet.